Good morning. You are very welcome to The Breakfast Show on Friday the 31st of January, the day the UK leaves the European Union. I'm Elaine McGee near the Strabane border.
I'm Anna Curran, live in Brussels.
And Richard O'Reilly here in BBC Radio Foyle. The headlines, yes, the UK leaves the European Union at 11 o'clock tonight after 47 years as a member. And the World Health Organization has declared a global emergency over the coronavirus outbreak.
I'm Oran Crumley with...
This is a cross-border, all-island business. But what is very interesting about Frylight is that it sort of sells its product twice. So you have it's an importer of fresh cooking oils. It has big-name customers like KFC, TJ Fridays. So all the oil is going out to your restaurants, your bakeries, your bars, all sorts. So on that side of the business, there's 10,000 customers across Ireland. You know, there's sort of no border in this business. This is an all-island business. And then the depots then are from Coleraine to Cork. But then what's very interesting is, well, I think I know, is that, becoming a bit of an oil connoisseur, is that they go back and get the oil. They collect the waste oil, bring it back here to Strabane, where it's processed, cleaned up pretty much, because obviously can't go back into the food chain, and then they sell it on to the brokers on the continent then for biofuel. So, you know, it's kind of like you have that cross-border element, but then you have that, you know, UK-EU relationship. So you can imagine that Brexit has posed huge questions for Frylight. And just to tell you all kind of where I am at the minute, I'm in what's called the fresh oil room. So I am surrounded, I don't know if you can hear that, surrounded by buckets. And we have soybean oil, we have rapeseed oil, we have this special blend they were telling me about earlier that goes out to KFC called the Frylight Gold Blend. And then each bucket, you can see it on our... I can't believe pointing people towards buckets on social media, but they're all sort of like colour coordinated, so you know which one's which. And the guys are working away here. I might just grab a quick word with Eddie, who's flat out pushing the pallets around. What happens in a fresh oil room, Eddie?
It's a busy morning. Every morning it's the same sort of thing. We just start to load buckets for our different depots and for our lorries going out each night of the week. Just every day is probably more or less the same, but it's just head down and get on with it.
And you did an early start this morning?
I'm in every morning about 20 past six or so. So I don't live that far away, so it's handy enough.
Does Brexit Day mean much to you, Eddie?
Who knows? I don't think anybody really knows what Brexit's going to bring. Maybe if you come back in a year's time, the answers might be more... They could be there.
Producer Anya inadvertently found ourselves among a group of tour students as we made our way to Parliament yesterday. And interestingly, they all had handfuls of frites, which is the national dish here. And we sort of said to ourselves, I wonder, is that are they cooked in Frylight's oil? Yeah, we're trying to make the connection from the border to Brussels. And I guess what struck me is the students who are here taking in this part of history, it's their children, I guess, who'll be reading about today in their history books. And you definitely, you get a sense that change is happening now, whether that's a cause for celebration, sadness, cautious optimism. Largely depends on who you talk to. Now, what we decided to do is we took the leaving card out, we took it to the streets, and we asked people of Brussels, members of the public, to tell us what goodbye message they had for the UK.
Good luck and maybe see you next time.
Sorry.
Sorry for you guys.
Sorry to see the UK go?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's not a good thing.
I think it's bad. Yeah, I think we're sorry to see the UK go because it's not good, neither for you, neither for us, I guess. I think nothing good will come from that. So.
Yeah, sad, I think the same.
We'll see in several years if it's a good idea, but I think the Great Britain will have some difficulties in the subject of economics and agriculture, climate, and so we'll see in several years if it's a good idea or no.
If you were to write a card to say goodbye, what would your message to the UK be?
Good luck.
I think if it is the will of the people, then it's the will of the people. And, you know, I'm not one of those crazy Remainers that think, you know, you have to ignore that. But I still think it's really sad. And to be honest, I think we'll be back. I think there will be British MEPs in the European Parliament sooner than most people in the UK actually think, because I think we find life is actually rather cold and very hard on the outside.
Come back soon. That's my message. Because I am a convinced European, I'm Polish, and I know why the EU is there. It has its flaws. But for the world peace and the climate change, that's the only way for us to be together, because we're not competing between the countries in the EU, we're competing with people outside. So, and, you know, I've done my A-levels in the UK, A-level in politics, and that was, for me, the model of democracy, and I was really amazed, and I loved everything there. So I'm, on the personal level, also very sad to see this.
Find me in the middle of a media scrum here in Parliament Square. You may be able to hear bagpipes behind me. That's because the MEPs from the Brexit Party have just exited the Parliament building for the last time. They are flanked by people carrying union flags, led by figure Anne Widdecombe. She briefly addressed journalists on the steps of the Parliament. She says, "We're out. We're going home. It's time for the UK to take back control." She's holding a sign in front of her as the camera crews from all over the world jostle to get a glimpse of what it says. It says Brexitists. They have Brexit umbrellas, they have flags, and they are making their way towards their own Brexit bus, where they will board the Eurostar and return home for the last time as MEPs. Incidentally, someone who's just walked past me is Herman Kelly. Now, he mightn't be a name that people know too much in Derry. He's actually a Derry man, and he works as part of the Brexit Party press conference, as you can imagine. Very busy morning for him. I would ask him for a quick word, but as you can imagine, he's other things on his mind. The media here have circled around Anne Widdecombe and her MEPs. I'm just going to stick my mic in the air and let you get a sense of the atmosphere here and those bagpipers. And as you can see, you can hear the bagpipers are getting closer. They're leading a quite a diminutive figure, Anne Widdecombe, but a powerhouse in terms of her role in the Brexit Party. The mood here among the Brexit Party MEPs, jubilant, smiles, hugs. I can see Anne Widdecombe pushing her travel luggage. She's actually using it to steer the world's media away. There's hundreds of media. You may be able to hear them. There's hugs. They're all making their way down towards a main square here, where that event that took place yesterday, that vigil to mark the end of Brexit, and that sadness has been replaced, as I say, with jubilation. I'm going to try and see if I can grab an exiting Brexit MEP. I'm just going to push my way into the centre of the scrum. Good morning, you're live on BBC Radio 4. Can I just ask who you are and how you're feeling?
I'm Belinda DeLucy, and I'm feeling overwhelmed with emotion. It's been such a long battle for so many of us. We've been discredited, demonised. We've been told our vote is worth nothing because we didn't know what we were voting for. We've been through so much just to get a democratic vote implemented, which reflects how far democracy has fallen in Western liberals' love list. We are at the bottom of the list, and we have raised democracy back to the top of the list, because without it, we are nothing.
We'll keep you on the move, Belinda. We are a station based in Northern Ireland. We have been watching the Brexit journey from its inception, because we are going to feel potentially the impact and ramifications of Brexit more than anywhere. What is your message for the people of Northern Ireland this morning, who may be wondering what's happening next?
My message is, it's our chance to prove to you we can make things better, and we plan, hope to make UK so appealing and so attractive you guys will never want to leave us. We are not bad people. We wish only good, peace and prosperity on everybody in Northern Ireland and across the Union, and give us this chance to prove that the naysayers and doomsters were wrong, because we are your friends and comrades. We all only have love for everyone. We just believe democracy will not survive the EU, and we have to protect it now or never.
You're not worried at this stage that what is happening here today, those jubilation scenes, in a few months' time, we could be potentially seeing a question over the union?
I actually think with change there will always become questions and there will always be disruptions, but that is no excuse not to change. And I just hope that we can all work together to minimise any of the negative effects that this change might bring. But this was a vote, a choice by the British people we took as a whole, and it had to be implemented, so let's just make the best of it.
And just one final question, Belinda, we'll move out of the way because Anne Whittacombe's taxi is actually to our left. She's looking to pull out. I can see Herman, the Brexit press man, who's telling us all to move out of the way. One final question, Belinda, because the Good Friday Agreement is central to people in Northern Ireland. It was a hard-fought document that has meant so much to so many people. Some may be angry or feel threatened this morning that that may be at risk.
I think the EU spun it and emotionalised it out of control when it was a very sensitive and serious issue between the UK and Northern Ireland and the world. No one wishes harm or any return of any violence. And I just can I just say to everyone in Northern Ireland, this is not an act of aggression or anti-anyone. This is an act of peace, love, democracy and friendship. And let's just work with that. And I'm sure the border will work out. No one wants to return to violence and no one should use that as an excuse to return to violence.
One final question. I know I keep saying the final question. I know you've got somewhere else to be, but you're talking about democratic votes. I know it was a UK-wide referendum, but the people of Northern Ireland and indeed Scotland voted overwhelmingly to remain. They're not feeling that sense of jubilation this morning.
And I understand that, and I sympathise with that. I really, really do. But, you know, after a boxing match, you can't change the rules just because you didn't win. And unfortunately, for those who lost, we did decide at the beginning to vote as the United Kingdom. We just have to prove it to everyone in Northern Ireland. It's worth staying with us and bring economic success to our union so they never leave us. We love Northern Ireland.
So it's a boxing match, not a knockout blow. Belinda, thank you so much indeed for your time. Belinda is jumping into your taxi now alongside all the other Brexit Party MEPs. It was a very busy, dramatic, exciting for the MEPs here departure from the MEP Parliament this morning. Of course, we knew they were going, but today is in the physical sense. They are actually, they're leaving. They're out of here. Anne Whittacombe has just passed me in a taxi. She's delighted. There are flags being flown out of their taxi window. And that bagpiper, fair play to him, because he's walking at a quickened pace behind that taxi as they head towards the Eurostar. Now, while the Brexit Party MEPs have already made their
departure, what better man to ask but the Managing Director of Frylight, Eamon McKay. Good morning, Eamon, and thanks very much for having us here.
Good morning. You're very welcome, Millian. Yes, and look, it's business as usual for ourselves so far. We're entering now, obviously, the transitional period. So Monday morning will be the same as this morning. It's going to be busy, hopefully. The impact on us would be obviously affect our customers, the materials coming in. We've planned as much as we possibly could. We've gone into every single detail, but a lot of decisions will be out of our hands with the bureaucracy that comes with paperwork that we intend to nose down the road for us, and we have to live with that.
You were listening there to Belinda when she was talking to Anna in Brussels, and when you hear someone from the Brexit Party say the border will work out, does that reassure you at all?
Not really. Not really. Seeing's believing. Yes, as a leader, you want to be positive, but seeing's believing. So it's still down the road for us, still ahead of us. And I just want to make sure that there's no really impact on the people that work here, that travel across the border on a daily basis, and our own goods coming in from Europe and travelling across the borders as well. Seeing's believing for me, Elaine. Yeah.
Are you worried?
I am concerned. I'm concerned. We've had a lot of issues over the 30 years that we've travelled with difficulties for BSE and other issues has come. We manage around it as a business do. We're resilient. We'll work our way around it. But I certainly want our voice. We want our voice heard as well. Whenever there are difficulties, we don't want to be the forgotten child.
What's your best case scenario? What's your worst case scenario, Eamon?
Best case scenario is reduction of the paperwork, seamless transport across the border, and a really emphasis and focus in this area, a special area, I think, the Northwest, from tax point of view or for whatever, so we don't lose tourists, we don't lose people, we don't lose skills, and we actually improve and we enhance that, and we look at our infrastructure and our networks.
What's the worst then?
The worst is the border. Stop, delays, uncertainty, fallouts, political uncertainty, no decisions, wrong decisions, knee-jerk reactions, and people not listening to the people that's affected.
And just on a final point,
and no one was talking about the Good Friday Agreement, you know. It was being utterly ignored, not just by the British establishment, but by everyone who had been involved. And why not? Because when you look at what happened throughout the whole Brexit referendum, sure, it was all about England and English nationalism. It wasn't anything to do with the Good Friday Agreement. You know, they didn't even give a fleeting glance our way. So I acknowledge having to be a little bit bold one night in the European Parliament. And, you know, as a consequence of that, I ended up in every, perhaps, member states, radio, TV, or one thing or another, being interviewed by reporters wanting to know why was this Irish woman standing on her feet telling a British Prime Minister that she wasn't bringing a border in Ireland, and in very sort of, you know, not parliamentary language. And I acknowledge I was bold, by the way.
Any regrets on that?
No, because what it did was it garnered international solidarity and support. And therefore, and I think of all the people that I have met, the hundreds and thousands at this stage, of people who have cried on my shoulder about the implications that Brexit was going to have in their businesses and in their lives. And I went to the Parliament that night representing those people who voted to remain in the EU, wanted to stay in the EU, and had been very concerned about the implications of it. And of course, those concerns have borne themselves out here. But what we have done is prevented a hardening of the border in Ireland. And that we got special status. Some people laughed at us, ignored us, and says this couldn't happen. And we have a situation now that the North is going to have access to the single market and across the island. The custom union rules across the island is going to apply. FANT rules will apply. But it's an ugly compromise because as we look at this now today, and we've been saying this for many, many years, washing machines and tumble dryers is all right trying to protect trade, but it's about people too. And I want to protect the people of Ireland and the people of the North of Ireland.
Yes, it's that time again, all this morning, to mark the day that the UK will leave the European Union, 11 o'clock tonight. We're trying to field as many questions as we can and try and navigate our way through the next 11 months to that trade deal deadline, the 31st of December. So we got a little bit of help with this one. We went along to the politics students at St Mary's College, and they've asked us very, very pertinent, very tricky questions, very intelligent questions. This one comes from Orla.
I'm just wondering that because the EU have always been a big contributor to the peace process in the North, is Brexit going to affect the peace process and the state of peace where we live?
Yeah, order there. So, idea of the peace process, how will it be affected post-Brexit? Anna, you're in Brussels, the centre of all those negotiations over the past 3.5 years. And the peace process, it didn't so much come up before the referendum, but very much started to appear in Brussels discourse after the referendum.
Oh, absolutely, Richard. And even throughout the course of this programme, we've mentioned it, and you heard Martine Anderson, MEP, speak about how it was incumbent on her, she felt, to raise it here. We put that to the Brexit Party MEPs as they were leaving the Parliament building for the last time. So absolutely, legislation and questions that matter to people in Northern Ireland certainly were brought to the floor of the Parliament building.
Will you still describe yourself as European after 11 p.m. today, or what's your feelings around that?
Yeah, I still will. I'll consider myself as a Northern Irish citizen, and as well, I'm half Indian, so I'll consider myself as a half Indian, half Irish citizen. I don't know. We were just listening all morning, and as we were listening to all our people's views, it has been like making us more worried and of the uncertainty of everything that's happening now, and it's making me feel that like it's quite worrying.
Okay, it all comes to an end at 11 p.m. tonight. 3.5 years of negotiation, speculation and debate finishes, and a new chapter begins. From myself, Elaine in Strabane, and Anna in Brussels, good morning.
52% for leave, 48% for Remain. Quite an extraordinary moment. Everything now is up for change because of this decision, and however you look at it, it's an earthquake, it's an earthquake, it's an earthquake.